Good morning and welcome to the third installment of the Steel Apple Fantasy Football Podcast. Steel apples, what brass balls just won't do. Welcome back, pussies. But hey, we're three episodes deep, and if you're still hanging on, we've got you intrigued. We've piqued your interest in this new format, the Hybrid 88, right? We've got eight rounds of bidding and auctioning and eight rounds of serpentine drafting. Big show on tap today. Got a lot to talk about. A lot of news, injuries, announcements, etc. But before we get started, you ever been thinking about something on your way to work, and by the time you get to work, you've totally thought about something else? Like, how'd you get from this to this, right? That happened to me this morning. I'm on the way to work, and I've got on XM Radio, Hair Nation, as usual, and this band Kix is on. Which, by the way, Kix, you know, what a cool name for a band that, if we're talking fantasy football, right? Kix. But anyway, this band Kix is on, and I'm thinking to myself, hey, Kix, pretty underrated hair metal band. So that get me going. So my train of thought now is underrated hair bands. And I start thinking about Tesla, Queensryche, not Dokken, Big D. Well, we'll argue to the ends of the earth that Dokken's one of the most underrated hair bands of all time. I strongly disagree. But anyway, I'm thinking about underrated hair bands, Trickster. And then I start thinking, huh, what about the big popular hair bands? Motley Crue, Def Leppard, Bon Jovi, Rat, Cinderella, Poison, Guns N' Roses. Huh. And then I shift gears again. I start thinking about Guns N' Roses songs. And I'm thinking, Mr. Brownstone, Welcome to the Jungle, November Rain, Civil War. Huh. Civil War. That gets me thinking about Oregon State, the Beavers and the Ducks, right? I give myself a little chuckle at the word beaver because that's what we do here at the Steel Apple. And then I start thinking about teams that have animals for mascots. And I start thinking Cougars, Bulldogs, Panthers. Huh. And I start thinking about the pro teams, right? Tigers, Cubs, Blue Jays, Orioles. Huh. Then I start thinking about team names, teams named after birds. And I move to the NFL. Cardinals, Eagles, Ravens, Seahawks. I go, wait a minute. Cardinals, Ravens, Seahawks, Eagles. They all have mobile black quarterbacks. Huh, what are the odds? Well, then I start thinking about fantasy football. Wonder how much Kyler Murray is going to be auctioned for. Wonder how much Russell Wilson is going to go for. Wonder what Jalen Hurts is going to do this year. Is Lamar Jackson going to rush for another 1,000 yards again? So then I start thinking about fantasy football auction. And then I start thinking about the serpentine draft, and I start getting pissed off again. In fact, I get so pissed off thinking about it that I miss my exit. I got to go 5 miles down, get off the exit, turn around, rush out with traffic. Takes me another 20 minutes to get to work. As I'm doing that, though, I'm thinking to myself, man, it's just that fucking serpentine drafting. It's just the same shit. It's the same old situation. Ha! Right back to hair metal. Motley Crue. Same old situation. Which, by the way, today, as this is being recorded, marks the 32nd anniversary of the release of Dr. Feelgood. All right? But we've all been there, right? You're on your way to work, and you say, you think to yourself, oh, I got to pick up some eggs on the way home. Next thing you know, you're thinking about, you know, I wonder what a giraffe would look like in a necktie. So it happens to all of us. That was my train of thought today. Got me from Kix to Lamar Jackson. Well, speaking of quarterbacks, I guess we should talk about a modern-day cowboy. A little Tesla reference there. Dak Prescott. News is out that he looks like he'll be good to go for opening day. Fantasy football-wise, I'm just not a big Dak guy. He's one of those guys that I just won't have on my team. And I have no real empirical evidence to say why. It's just a feel you have. It's just a gut feeling. You know, he's had one good season, maybe a good season and a quarter. Last year, he was on pace to throw for a lot of yards, but only throw for about 29 touchdowns. You know, my benchmark in fantasy is 30. I'd like to see 30 to 35 touchdowns minimum when I'm looking at a quarterback. You know, we all have these guys. You know, guys like Dokken, right? I don't like Dokken anymore because of the one time. One time the concert, I went to a concert in Tampa. It was hot, the middle of the summertime. Don Dokken must have just not felt great in his fucking skin-tight leather pants. He sounded like shit, and it just pissed me off. So from that day forward, which is 1988, I just haven't liked Dokken, right? Well, we've got these players in fantasy football, same thing. You know, one guy, Sammy Watkins, there you go. We'll never be on the roster again, okay? I'll never have him because 1 year I had him, he was a complete bust, right? Dak, you know, first two seasons, kind of a bust. But with him, you know, I know he's got weapons around him. He's a talented quarterback. He's got Zeke, CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper. But for me, it's just a feel for the guy. And then the health thing. You know, last year, okay, a fluke injury. This year, though, the shoulder's bothering him. So now you got a little trend going with Dak. So I'm going to stay away from him. I really am. Unless the bidding stalls out at $8, I'm not taking Dak Prescott. And it's just one of those feel picks for me. Just a guy I would never have on my team. You know, for Big D this year, Alvin Kamara. Right? He's got a feeling that Alvin Kamara is going to be a bust, not going to live up to his expectations. Speaking of Big D, you know, we're in this 6 minutes already, and you haven't heard from him. That's because he's not here. Big D's on the PUP list. He's telling me COVID. I'm thinking gonorrhea, the throat, maybe the clap again. I don't know. Maybe he did the milk crate challenge. You know, stepped on the first one, fell off, and broke a hip. Who knows? But I got a rolling rock in my hand, so Big D, cheers to you. Get well soon. You know, we're dying over here at Steel Apples for Rolling Rock to be our sponsor. Big D and I were talking about it the other day, but I think we decided we're more fit for, you know, Chico's Bail Bonds sponsor us. Maybe the Lickety Split Strip Club. What a great name for a strip club, by the way. Little Ozark for you. Speaking of Ozark, we talked the other day about the last episode about auctioneers, and Berta from Two and a Half Men will be a great auctioneer. Ruth from Ozark would also be fantastic. Just the kind of person you're looking for to run your auction. Going once, going twice, sold, motherfucker. Now, being from New York, that's a horrible Southern accent, but you get the drift. Ruth and her attitude would make a great auctioneer. Moving on from Dak, let's get to Mac. Mac Jones. It was announced today, it's September 1st, we're recording this, that he's going to be the starter in New England. Cam Newton, cut. Right, Asante Samuel said today that Bill Belichick is cold-blooded. And speaking of kicks, anyway, kicks, another kicks. Yeah, here we go, kicks again. Right? They have a song called Cold Blood. So anyway, Asante Samuel said Bill Belichick's cold-blooded for cutting Cam. You know, call Bill Belichick what you will, but he wins. Okay, he did so. You know, he's cut 100 guys that you never thought would have got cut up there. It's funny that Bill Belichick, because he cuts a guy, is cold-blooded. But yet any NFL player that up and leaves his team to take the better money, is considered looking out for himself, is considered a business decision, right? The guy who's holding out before camp starts, that's pretty cold-blooded. Hold out on your teammates. But again, it's a business decision, looking out for himself. The difference between cold-blooded Bill Belichick is that he's looking out for his team. What's going to put my team in the best position to win? These guys that are cold-blooded and up and leave their team for more money, you know, they're just being selfish if you ask me. All right, but I'll get off my milk crate here. Back to Mac Jones and the impact of him being named the starter has on his fantasy value. Honestly, I would say not too much. Cam Newton and Mac Jones both ranked in the high 20s. They would not get auctioned, I can tell you that. Neither of them would be thrown out for a bid in an auction-style draft. They'd go as a backup at best. Likely whoever started there would be on the waiver wire. In this case, it's going to be Mac Jones. Likely a waiver wire type of pickup. I don't think too many guys are going to draft him as their backup quarterback. A few things about Mac Jones in the situation up there. Who stands to benefit the most from Mac Jones being the starter? I would say the tight ends. Okay, you have to replace 12 rushing touchdowns by Cam Newton, and about 600 yards. I think he ran for 592 last year. So where are those 12 touchdowns going to come from? I don't think the running game. Damian Harris, yeah, he might score a little more. James White's going to be James White. We know what he brings to the table. But I think your two tight ends, Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith, stand the benefit from this. Mac Jones is not going to rush for 600 yards and 12 touchdowns, I can tell you that. But the tight end is a great safety valve for a rookie quarterback. a great check down. And so I think the opportunity is there for the tight ends in New England to benefit. As far as the wide receivers go, Nelson Agholor, Jakobi Meyers, you know, they're marginal wide receivers. I don't think they benefit too much from Mac Jones being named the starter. They'll catch their share of balls, but I wouldn't bump them up in the rankings at all. You know, I wouldn't all of a sudden circle, oh, I got to have Nelson Agholor now. It's not a situation like that. Okay. So Mac Jones himself, like I said earlier, I wouldn't draft him. I certainly wouldn't pay for him, but I would keep my eye on him. I would definitely keep my eye on him. You know, if you're one of these owners that never pays for a quarterback and drafts only one in the later rounds, you might want to keep an eye on Mac Jones the first couple days of the season. First couple of weeks of the season. You know, let's say, you know, first 8-10 quarterbacks are auctioned out there. And so you're going to be left with, you know, quarterbacks 11 through 20. So you take somebody like a Stafford. Maybe you take a flyer on Joe Burrow. Maybe you go with Ben Roethlisberger. Well, if they don't work out, they're not performing the first couple of weeks of the season, first few weeks, maybe try to pick up Mac Jones on the waiver wire. But I think that's at best where he is right now. Nothing more than a waiver wire quarterback. Other news out there this week, which, you know, let me get on my milk crate yet again. I don't know why people continue to draft so goddamn early. Okay, let's look at the last 2 weeks, for example. Sonny Michel gets traded, right, affecting Darrell Henderson. Travis Etienne out for the year, affecting both him, obviously, and James Robinson. Okay, Michael Thomas just announced today he's on the PUP list, going to miss at least 5 games. Okay, minimum he's got to sit out 5 games. All right, Mac Jones being named the starter. J.K. Dobbins getting hurt. How's that going to affect Gus Edwards? Andy Dalton even being named the starter. What's that do for Justin Fields? What's that do for Allen Robinson, Tariq Cohen, David Montgomery, etc.? All right, so if you drafted 2.5 weeks ago, you know, right around the time ESPN had their fucking draft show on, you know, you million or so assholes who have their teams already, now you're fucked, right? Especially with J.K. Dobbins, because he was a top 20 back in a lot of magazines and websites there. So what about Gus Edwards? Yeah, he's a backup for a reason, okay? But he's been a serviceable backup. He's been in the league 3 years. He's very consistent, 700 yards each year, right around a little over 700 yards each year. Not a big touchdown machine, though. And again, I said it last time, the running game in Baltimore goes through Lamar Jackson, okay? Everything else is secondary. Now you have a backup running back coming in. Gus Edwards, he'll likely get thrown out for a bid, as most running backs do. I wouldn't pay more than $10, $15 for him because, like I said, he's a backup for a reason, and everything goes through Lamar Jackson, okay? Now, let's talk about who's going to get thrown out there, okay? You have 80 picks, 80 guys to bid on. And I'll tell you, from experience, you're going to get 30 running backs minimum, 32, one starter for each team, likely. Probably going to need about 35 wide receivers just because they're, you know, there's two wide receivers for every one running back. Maybe even 40, you know. I don't know that I'd go 40, but probably 35. You're going to get a handful of quarterbacks, probably your top 6-7 guys might get bid on, okay? And then tight ends, a handful. I can't imagine more than 5 tight ends being thrown out for bidding. You know, you're going to have Kittle. You're going to have Kelsey. You're going to have Mark Andrews, Darren Waller, and probably Kyle Pitts just because he's the big rage coming in at the tight end position, number 4 overall. Fucking Falcons. Ooh, that's a lot for a tight end, you know, 4 overall. But anyway, that'll be your 80 players, okay? Then what you got to do is you got to start to reassess. In our particular league, after round 8, we take a big break. We grab some food, hit the jackass jug just for shits and giggles. You know, our smokers go out there, you know, hit up the heater. We got guys, though, that don't leave their seats. You know, they sit there after round 8, and they're pounding the keys on their laptops. They're flipping pages. They're scratching out and circling shit. These guys are serious about round 9. And for good reason. Rounds 9, 10, and 11, you know, the first 3 rounds of the Serpentine can, you know, give you some depth. It can, you know, give you some wins and fill out your team. So rounds 9, 10, 11, you really have to have some knowledge of who's left. So after the 81st 80 players are thrown out there and bid on and everybody's bought their players, then you got to start to reevaluate, reassess, re-rank some guys. And that could take a little bit. If you got your computer, your laptop in front of you, it'd be a little easier. But you got to take some consideration there for those first few rounds after the auction. Those can help build your team into a winner. Other news out there, Irv Smith hurt. Jets traded Chris Herndon to the Vikings. He's out indefinitely with this trade. Leads me to believe it might be longer than we think. Irv Smith, definitely not going to be thrown out in an auction-style draft. I personally was hoping to steal him late, you know, round 14 or 15. I have him as an up-and-comer, as a sleeper. Okay. Jalen Hurts named the starter this week as well. I don't think any surprise there. I don't think Gardner Minshew, just traded over there, is going to really compete for that job. So that's where we're at injury-wise. Big week for fantasy as far as injuries go, announcements go. That's why I say I don't understand why we draft so early. You know, next year, I think we got to have the National Auction Day Hybrid 88 on 8/28, right? August 28th is a Sunday. Next year, I think it should be National Auction Day Hybrid 88 on 8/28. That about does it here at the Steel Apple Fantasy Football Podcast. A little shortened version this week. I'm a little lost without Big D throwing his big mouth around, throwing his weight around. We miss him, but he'll be back next time. You can find us on Spotify, Apple Music, Google Music, Stitcher. Hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, at Steel Apples 1275. Thanks again for listening, you bunch of pussies. Steel Apples, when brass balls just won't do it.